Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. For many, many decades, members of the LGBTQ community have labored in obscurity and have been challenged to express themselves on the issue of their public identity. But that is changing inside the LGBT community and outside of it. Although there are new social and political challenges. Well, tonight we talk about a new organization, Speak Out Inc., created to make sure their voices are heard. My guests are Antonio Driver, founder of Speak Out Inc., and Derek Cox, the organization's outreach coordinator. If you have a comment, if you have a question, lines are open. Give us a call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Derek and Antonio, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Antonio, let me start with you. You're the founder of Speak Out. Why did you start it? Why did you form this organization? What was the need?
You know, I stumbled into, and I get this question a lot, is why did I found it? It kind of found me, if that makes sense. I stumbled into it. And to say that, it initially was a spinoff group of a Facebook group where we had a lot of conversations around relationships and coming out and dealing with family and depression and suicide. And a friend of mine came to me and said, I think that we need to organize this and become bigger and go beyond the four walls of Facebook. And so we incorporated and found the organization. And the reason that I personally continue to push the vision is because I think about my younger self. I think about that 13-year-old Antonio or that 16-year-old Antonio who did not have a speak out to, like, go to or an organization that we can find representation and see positive examples of what and who to go to in the community.
What is the main message? Because as I said earlier in the newscast, this organization doesn't just have one message. There are multiple messages, but is there one programmatic thrust to use the inside the boardroom lingo?
Well, for the organization, if we had to sum up all of our messages, it would be you are not alone. And that means you are not alone in the walk of coming out. You are not alone with your struggle with addiction. You are not alone in the walk with, you know, finding the proper health care. You are not alone with just finding friendships and relationships.
Derek, you are the outreach coordinator. What does that mean? Who are you reaching out to? Is this for members of the LGBT community that you're trying to bring into the big tent, or for those who are not members?
Yeah, so it's mostly for the people that are within the LGBTQIA+ community, because we're trying to reach out to as many people, you know, that identify as same gender loving men or women. And we just want to make sure, like he was saying before, that you are not alone, that we do see you. And mostly what I do, I reach out to those, especially those that have fallen out of care from clinics, doctors, hospitals, anybody that, you know, especially dealing with health or, you know, suicide rates or just anyone that's started but then stopped. We're trying to reach everyone outside of that because we want to make sure that everyone knows that you matter, your life matters, you exist for a reason. Just because you're gay or however you choose to identify, it doesn't matter. You're still a human being, but we all exist for a reason. You're not alone. We see you.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are speaking to members of the new organization, Speak Out Inc., about the LGBTQ community here, not only in the D.C. area, but I suspect this is an organization that could very well grow. Give us a call if you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Derek, go back to something you said that kind of struck me. You said for members of the community who are out of care, break that down a little bit more, and why do you believe that that is such an important piece of the organization?
So when I say members that are out of care, it's like people that, you know, went to the doctors, you know, found out that they were sick or had an STD, or just found out, you know, they had a disease in any form of matter, or that had a bad experience with a doctor or a therapist, anyone that started towards any type of treatment for themselves and they had a bad experience or just found out any information that they didn't want to know and they fell out of care. So I definitely love to reach those people just to let them know that, you know, if you don't like your doctor, you can change them. If you don't like your therapist, you can get another one. I like to remind people that you have more control in a lot of certain areas of your life that you believe that you do. Because a lot of times we have a bad experience with something and we instantly give up on ourselves or we just say F it. And I get tired when people have a bad experience and they just don't hold that person accountable or giving them that bad experience, because these people get paid to teach you in the way that you need to get paid. You know what I mean? So it's like you matter and you need to be seen the way that you need to be seen so you can get treated the way you need to be treated.
Do you have or offer resources for members of the community where we can see a narrowing or an elimination of the disparities?
Oh, yes, definitely. There's always many options that you have. Like, say if you went to, you know, AHF, who's AIDS Health Foundation. If you had a bad experience there, we have multiple other resources of different places that you can go to get another different outgoing service. If you need someone else, to get another different pharmacy to get your meds, another doctor to talk to, anything that you need, something other than if you don't want to stay in that vicinity of that place or that organization, you can definitely go to another.
Antonio, is it different for members of the community who are also people of color compared to members of the community who are not?
Absolutely. I think that oftentimes, and I'm glad you kind of talk about that, is that oftentimes we want to say LGBTQIA+ community. And what it is the LGBTQIA+ population. But when we think about community, we think about a gay issue and a gay concern, and then you have to make that a black gay concern, because oftentimes white gays and black gays aren't in the same situations, and we deal with the same segregation that one who may not identify somewhere on the spectrum, we deal with those same challenges, as well as how a trans person identifies. Oftentimes they want to put us in this big box, but some people are fighting for how they want to be seen and how they want to be looked at. And some people are just fighting simply for, this is who I choose to love. And so when we say community, it is a community, but often we want to really talk about the population.
Before I get down into some heavier conversation, because I have a lot of questions about some of the social and political issues that have challenged the community and population, and I want you to kind of react to that. Some of the things that are definitely in the news these days. But beforehand, you've got an event. It's coming up this weekend here in D.C. Who wants to take the lead and talk about the I Am Awards?
Sure, I'll go ahead. So the I Am Awards is our organization's signature fundraiser, but it's also about acknowledgement of those who have done extremely well and done great work, but may not have been acknowledged on a massive scale. And it's simply, I am trans, I am black, I am gay, I'm a lesbian, I'm non-binary. And that's what I Am stands for, and that's what it means. But it's hosted by Vivica A. Fox. We're awarding individuals like George M. Johnson, who wrote the book All Boys Aren't Blue. Another honoree lifetime achievement award is to Keith Boykins, who's done a lot in the political arena. We have a lot of local organizations and a lot of local people who have just done great in their respective areas, whether it was in fashion or something along the lines of humanitarian work. That is the bulk of the awards, is really just to bring acknowledgement and to bring light on those individuals who have done great, but also to send a message to those who are looking for, like I go back to what I talked about when I was 13 or 14, I was looking for an organization that represented me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing my part in giving back to my younger self by creating that space.
How can people find out more information? Is it still open for attendance?
Well, the event at this point is sold out. However, we are already gearing up for next year, April 23rd, 2023. But all that information could be found on our website at speakoutusa.org. That's speakoutusa.org.
Okay. See, there you go. You're sold out.
Yeah.
Which may be, I'm sure you're happy about that.
Very.
Yeah. Speak out. What's the website again?
Speakoutusa.org.
Speakoutusa.org. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about Speak Out, Inc., a new organization here in the District of Columbia in support of the LGBTQ. Help me with this. LBGTQ, LBG. LGBTQIA plus. Did I get it right?
You got it.
Okay, help me with that, because this bring, and the reason I say help me with that, because I know that both you and Antonio and the members of your organization are still aware that there is still so much prejudice. There's so much homophobia out there. You've seen it online. You see it in the community. You see it in dealing with governmental organizations. From your perspective, are things getting better for the community or worse?
Derek, you want to start or you want me to go?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Derek. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I will say I play devil advocate with that question. So as I look around and I see, I want to say things are getting better because, you know, they're including LGBT in so many things, you know, far as cartoons, commercials, TV, movies. Like, I'm starting to see it more. It's like it's visualized, you know, it's not something that's shunned or looked down upon as much. But then there's still, you know, you still see, you know, that there's still hate crimes and death that's behind it because of people living their lives. So it's I'm in the middle. I'm back and forth with it.
Mm. What do you think, Antonio?
I mean, I say that we have come a long way. We've come a long way to now we can get married. We've come a long way to we can, you know, we can adopt kids and different things like that. But we still have a long ways to go. So I would say I agree we're still in the middle, because this is, for some, this is you just viewing it. But for others, this is our life and is our livelihood. And we're still, some of us are still afraid to come out and be truly who we are for the sake of being hurt and harmed. So, you know, I still feel like we have a long way to go. Mm-hmm. However, we have made some significant steps.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking with the members of Speak Out, Inc., an organization for LGBTQIA+. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Charles, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Charles. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah. My question is this. We have always grown up according to what mom and grandma has always taught us about moral and moral principles. Why do they find it appropriate to think that it's morally to conduct oneself in the fashion of being other than the way that you were brought up to say that you are a community? If you look at history, you'll find that in Rome, Caesar had women laying all around the floor, but he slept with another man, and that wasn't morally. And so why is it being practiced today in the same fashion?
Who wants to tackle that question?
I could answer that question. You know, when we talk about morals, we have to understand that my morals may not be your morals, and your mom wasn't my mom. So you also got to understand that what may be morally correct for one may not be morally correct for another. And I think that, you know, history and time, I know you talk about Romans and or going back in that time, we have progressed as a world in how we do things. The things that we do today would not have been morally correct. Just some of the government policies would not have been morally correct back in that time either.
Mm. And I would say, you know, and not to speak for you guys, I'm sure you have the ability to speak for yourselves. You know, when we do understand that you know, when you talk about ancient Rome, that, you know, same-sex interactions were also accepted, not only for the Romans, but also for the Greeks. And I think this goes back to one of the other issues that the LGBTQ issue, even in more recent history here in the United States, was all around us. It was in Hollywood. It was in the Black community. It was in all communities. It was, as they say, in the closet, which brings me to, you know, this next question, because I think it was Antonio who spoke about people who have not come out. And as members of the community and in an organization like this, how do you address the issue for those who haven't come out, who are not ready to come out? Is that something that you encourage them to do? How do you handle that?
There, you want me or you got it?
Go ahead, Antonio. Okay. And don't forget, you guys can jump in. It doesn't matter.
As a matter of fact,
hold on. Before you jump in, hold your answer because I'm going to take a break. But don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Inside segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live. It's in its entirety. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We will continue this conversation in just a few seconds on Sirius XM Channel 141. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue the conversation about a new organization giving voice to the LGBTQIA+ community. My guests are Antonio Driver, founder of Speak Out Incorporated, and Derek Cox, the organization's outreach coordinator. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Back to the question before the break. Antonio, how do you deal with members of the community who have not come out, who may discuss it with you or other members of the community, but are just not ready to do it? From your perspective, how do you address that issue with them?
I think that it's a personal thing. I think that we can just say that we're here to support if you come out, but that's a personal choice. Really depending on where they fall, because once again, I say we all put into this box, LGBTQIA+, and we're all fighting for different things when you really get down in the midst of it. But to ask someone, our job is never to force someone to come out. They could have very many different reasons on why they may not come out. It could be a number of things why they don't. And I don't think it's our job. It's not my job to force someone or to encourage them to come out. It's all about their level of comfortability and when they're ready to, you know, make that decision. That's just like forcing someone to eat something that they don't like.
Derek?
So I would never, like you said, I would never encourage the thought, but if someone ever wanted to come out, I always share my story. So every time I share my story and people reach out to me and ask me how I came out, I just let them know that it's okay, and it's always whenever you're ready to do so. So they have to understand that, you know, once you choose to put aside what you grew up with, you know, those morals on those religions and everything else that's been embedded and beaten into your head and your brain and your ear, you know, like saying men don't cry and growing up being taught that you can't show or express emotions or feelings, it's just like you have to learn how to just oversee that and just accept who you are as an individual. And when you actually are able to accept yourself and not worry about those initially around you and the fear of losing the family of loved ones just because you chose to be something that's was said to be an abomination or looked down upon, then you can, you know, do those steps towards coming out or accepting or that new step in your life. But it's always when you're ready to. It's not something you can force upon anybody.
So tell the tale, Derek. How did you come out? How old were you? And how old are you now?
Well, I will be 33 May 7th. Taurus baby here. Yay, Google.
I'll send you a card.
So I didn't really have a choice of coming out because I grew up feminine. So just because of the fact that I was feminine, I didn't even know what gay or any of that was until I got into middle school. But because I grew up feminine, my family and friends around the neighborhood were already calling me gay.
So did you come out because it's kind of like, you know, I know whenever we have these conversations and we talk about parents, and a lot of people come out and parents say, come out for what? We knew.
Mm-hmm. So what's funny is I never really came out. Like I said, everyone already assumed and already kind of knew that I was gay. But my mother was so in denial about it. I guess I would say I officially came out to her when I was 16. I tried to wait till I was 18 like they do in the movies and be like, okay, I got something big to tell you, 18th birthday, big day. But, you know, a lot happened.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Antonio? When did you come out, and how old were you, and how old are you now?
I am 33 years old currently. My coming out, if there was a coming out experience, was it just went from all these girls calling the phone to all these guys calling my house phone. And my mother, I was coming in the house one time, and she said, my sister said, you know, all of these guys are starting to call the house for Antonio versus all, you know, all of the females, which I thought was, I looked at her and I said, well, all my brothers, they got their friends calling too. I mean, which were, you know, guy friends. But I think that it was more, my coming out process wasn't that I needed to come out and say that I was gay. I think if there was a coming out process, it was more about them being prepared for me to come out. And it was less about me and more about them. Most of the time, coming out process for a lot of individuals is less about the person, and it's more about the people around them. We're very clear at that point of who we are attracted to and what we like. It's more about everyone else.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a little bit more about that because I think that would be helpful for some of our listeners. But before I do, let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Hope, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Hope. What's on your mind?
So first I want to say thank you for using your platform to have this discussion because I think it's a very important one.
Sure thing.
But I was just, and this has been on my mind for a while, and please, I hope no one takes this the wrong way. I feel like everybody should be able to live in their truth and be accepted doing that. But what I'm seeing recently, I'm going to say over the past few years, is like, I feel like an agenda is being pushed on the public, and especially where it bothers me is the children. Like someone just mentioned a few calls ago, like we're starting to see it more in the commercials and the cartoons and things like that. And I just wanted to know, like, as far as you wanting your truth to be respected, everyone, like, do you guys feel that that's okay? Like, I don't really see a lot of pushback coming from the LGBTQ community. If I didn't say that wrong, right, forgive me. When it comes to, like, children, like, some things shouldn't be discussed. And I was just wondering, like, is that, do you see that as a problem? Or is it like, hey, as long as we're getting accepted, it doesn't matter?
Well, you know, Hope, I'm glad you raised that question because it is really key that we really got to ask. One of the things that when people bring this question, I always ask them, LGBTQIA+ people are everywhere. They're in the schools, they're on TV, they're in the churches, they're at the stores and at the malls. So my thing is, it's not that you can hide what they see. They see the same thing that you would see with a man and a woman being intimate or kissing or being out. It shouldn't be hidden that an LGBT person is now being seen on TV or a trans person, because they're going to see them one way or another.
Yes. So I don't have a problem with them seeing them. And just to clarify, I have a problem with women and men having certain PDA in front of children. So I'm just saying, like, I think that that should be a conversation that a parent should be having with their children. So I just think that at 5 or 6, like, nothing, man on woman, woman on woman, man on, none of that should be being discussed in cartoons. but I'm starting to see this more. Like, what's the, there was a superhero, and then there was something else, and I'm just like, is anything, like, sacred for kids anymore? Not even just this topic. I'm just bringing it up because I don't have anyone that I can speak with that's in the lifestyle, and I was just wondering, like, we're all adults. We all can see, you know, good and bad, right and wrong, but it's just like, for me, whether, again, straight or not straight, certain sexual content is not for kids, and I just really don't hear anyone in that community speaking out, like, hey, like, certain stuff we should still reserve, like, for parents to talk about or handle with their children versus a cartoon where they're 3, 4, 2 and seeing these things. At that point, they're not going to grasp the concept anyway, so why even introduce it if you're not going to do it fully and correctly?
Let me add, before they answer, you know, Hope, you, first of all, let me salute you for being very sober in your very complex question. I have a question for you, and I ask this, you know, specifically. So, if you have a heterosexual couple and they have a child, you know, dad, mom, and the child is 3 or 4 years old, and you mentioned specifically PDA, should they kiss in front of the child? And if you have a same-sex couple with a 3 or 4 year old child, should they kiss in front of the child?
And for me, in public personal life, my same-sex or different sex, kissing in front of a child, a loving peck or something like that, I'm like, okay, but I've been in places with my daughter, with a heterosexual couple, and they like tonguing and all of this, and I felt that was inappropriate in a skating ring with all of these children.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, again, same sex or opposite sex, certain things are okay. Kids should see affection coming from all, you know, different, you know, people and everything, but it's just certain stuff, and I'm only, you know, got focusing this towards the community because that's what we're talking about.
Right,
I know
right.
that the straight community does way too much in front of the children as well. The music videos, the, all of that. I've had
you
a
think?
Problem with that as well.
You got me clutching my pearls looking at some of these.
And mine too.
Yeah.
But so, I was just saying that to say, again, because I have no friends that I can freely have this conversation with. I caught it on the radio. So I was like, hey, I wonder, do like people in the community also see like, hey, all right, we want to be accepted and we appreciate it, but y'all going way too far.
Let me see what they have to say, because Antonio, I think she brings up such a really important and complex issue. Please address what she's asking.
Yeah, no, I see your point. I definitely agree that there is a time and a place, and I obviously there would be things that I wouldn't push in front of children or you know, the PDA to a certain degree. However, I think that's such a broader issue that it's not just an LGBTQIA+ issue. Once again, we're just getting to the point of getting on TV or getting a cartoon character. Maybe I can think of one or two people, cartoon characters. However, I don't watch cartoons, so I don't know what they do on the television. But I can't even speak to that. But I would say that I think that that's a broader conversation.
Yeah. And let me say to Hope's point, and tonight, as we know, the NFL draft is happening. It's happening in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And one of the top prospects, Trey McBride from Colorado State, is a first in that he is the first draft pick who's publicly, a product of a gay parents, you know, two women. Now, so I think the rhetorical question, is that a big deal? Do we care that it's a lesbian relationship, okay? I personally don't care It doesn't. I mean, I think it's interesting. If they hadn't mentioned it, okay. Now they mention it, I say okay. But who is he going to play for? That's my question. And you know, I don't have, you know, a feeling one way or another. I mean, like I said, okay, that's, you know, it's interesting. It's 2022. Bound to happen, probably has happened before. Now they're talking about it. Okay, but, okay, I don't know. Should I care, Derek?
So, Hope, first of all, Hope definitely loves you. Love you screaming from D.C. to Baltimore. And hey. I will say, to that point, in life, I've learned that every moment in our life is a teachable moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely agree with you, because even when Pride time comes around, I even feel sometimes, you know, a lot of times the LGBT community do it. I mean, I understand, you know, show your pride, do what you want to do. It's our month, I get it, but some of the clothes they wear, sometimes it bothers me. So I just be like, ugh, it's a little too much, because you know it is. It's pride, and, you know, kids are out here, and they're family-oriented. You don't got to be naked to be prideful, like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it, but also, like you said, you can never really understand what your kid's going to be, like, viewed to in any moment of their life. You know, the moment that they leave you, they go to school, they be around their friends, they get on that bus, what they see on TV, what they see on their phone, social media is just crazy. But everything is a teachable moment. So I say if you are experiencing something with your child and you get to teach them about that moment, you're allowed to speak on anything. I mean, I still speak on something. Like, if I walk past a bunch of group of kids and, you know, they say faggot, I'll correct them. I'll be like, look, if I was anybody else, I would destroy y'all because I'm an older adult and I wouldn't care about putting my hands on you. But I'm not that type of person. Be respectful. If I'm respecting you, I said, hi, that's it. Address me as I address you. Just because I'm feminine or I wear feminine clothing, that don't mean I have to be called a faggot. I am gay, yes, because I love the same sex, but that doesn't make me a faggot. Do you really know what that word means? Do you understand the connotatory that it consists of when you use it? So I feel like everything is a teachable moment if that person is willing to accept it.
Hope, thank you so much for your thoughtful questions. I appreciate it. It sounds like, you know, much more work to do. And Hope brings up another issue. And Antonio, I'll start with you. And this is what I was talking about earlier. You know, this isn't just an issue with, you know, with black people. We have seen legislation, like just today, signed in Georgia, legislation banning books with what is described as divisive content. That includes content regarding racial history in America. But it also allows books to be removed from schools that have content related to the LGBTQIA community and in other sexual community. But when I was watching these news stories about this today, I was just thinking, so are they going to remove Lady Chatterley's Lover? Are they going to remove Henry and June? Are they going to remove Anais Nin? All of those books or authors have really explicit sexual content. You know, so how do you feel about that? Not to mention, we've got the Don't Say Gay law now in Florida, and the attack, the political and the financial attack on Disney World. These are the kinds of challenges that the LGBTQIA plus community must now deal with beyond just black gay folks, Antonio.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a lot of key points. And it's so funny, one of our honorees who wrote the book All Boys Aren't Blue, his book has been banned. I didn't think it was sexual content in there, but his book has been banned in multiple states and multiple school districts. I think that it's unfortunate that they take education away from students to learn. I think that it goes to kind of erasing us, but at the same token, we're still here, we're still existing. We can even bring this down to the to the civil rights struggle, and I'm not comparing LGBT rights and civil rights movement, but oftentimes we didn't learn about our Black history in schools for many, many years, or it wasn't taught properly. So it, I guess to go back to say, I think that we're working backwards oftentimes by removing a lot of LGBT content, because it's very important, but then we get questions like the questions that we've gotten on this call because of the lack of education. Oftentimes, I think someone made the comment about a gay agenda. I promise you, I've been gay all my life, and I've never seen a paper or an agenda or any signature saying this is how we're going to move and this is what we're going to do and this is what we need to force on people. And so I think that it goes back to the lack of education, and we're removing information and we're saying don't say gay, or we're not, you know, I don't know how that's going to help us as a country move forward and as a community move forward. So I think that they're working backwards.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Monica, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Monica. What's on your mind?
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon, I'm sorry.
Hey, how you doing?
My question is, I don't know if this is true or not, but maybe you could just apply it to the current situation that's out here now. Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family, I heard that he said he's going to raise his son or child, I'm not sure if it's a male or female, as a gay child. And I thought that was kind of peculiar, but just want to get people's feedback and stance on that ideology to raise your child as a gay child.
Well, go ahead.
Well, you know, I have to go back to saying you cannot make someone gay or lesbian or trans that is not gay or trans. It's not going to happen. There is nothing you can do or say to change what someone is not. You know, I don't know if you can raise. I was raised to just be a child and a man. My attraction was always there. There was nothing you could say or do to me to change who I'm going to be attracted to. So I don't know if you, I think maybe what I picked up is maybe his child may have come to him and say, I'm gay or X, Y, and Z. And so now he's going to respect his child and saying, you know, allowing his child to be who he is within that parental realm. That's what I picked up.
Okay. Monica, thank you so much for your question. And let's talk, if we can, you know, Derek, this goes back to what I asked in the beginning about outreach. When you said, you know, the outreach is for members of the community. But is this, whose responsibility do you believe it is to understand the LGBTQIA plus community? And how would you, as a member of this organization, expand the teachable moments to those who may be hostile to how you live?
So I'll say that I won't say it's anyone's responsibility, because you can't teach someone that don't want to be taught. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they say when you lead the horse to the water, you can't make them drink it. But for people that are hostile, like I said, I always took in that time to teach anybody in the moment. You know, I'll let that hostility play itself out. And then if they are willing to learn, then I'll talk to them. Like, I have a lot of straight friends that are parents, and, you know, we're very good friends. But, you know, they've said before, you know, their son or their daughter could never be gay, or I could never allow that. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm kind of right here. I mean, I'm gay. Hello. And they're like, but, you know, I love you, though. And I'm like, okay, you can love me, but you ain't going to love your kids if they turn out gay. So it's always a teachable moment. Like, you know, and I love having those conversations because, you know, like I said, we all being so embedded with that whole religion thing. So this has been beaten in our heads so much that it's just wrong to be other. You know, it's just, that's just how we all live. And that's why it's so hard to just redo such a learning that we all grew up with, even though it's been existing for so many years, way past our own prime. We just have names and labels to it now.
Mm-hmm. You know, go ahead, please.
I would definitely want to just piggyback on it and just push on that statement a little bit and just saying that I don't even think that it's anyone's. I would almost say it's everyone's responsibility to learn about human beings. And oftentimes we want to put the LGBTQ community in a box as if we're not like a part of the rest of the world, but we are. And I think that it's our job to learn about our neighbors, and it's our job to learn about people who don't look like us, who don't talk like us. So I think that I'm going to go ahead and push it a little harder. I think it's everyone's job. If I got to learn about white culture or Indian culture or Asian culture, I think it's their job to learn about LGBT culture and sexuality and different things like that, because it affects everyone. Because if it was just an Antonio thing, then only people that needed to learn about it, this would be an Antonio myself. But I think that it's everyone's job because it affects everyone. If you segregate yourself from learning about our community, then, like I said, we're having these conversations that we're having, these questions that are coming up today about how do I protect my kids or keep my kids or raise my LGBT child, mm-hmm. or my friend or my cousin or my dad or my mom.
Yeah. Antonio, you're going to have to say that for the people in the back. Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Grace, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just want to say that I'm a parent of a transgender female. She was born male and transitioned when she was 18. However, I've always known that she was a female. And this was at the age of 2. You watch your child, you see the behaviors, and you let them discover who they are. It wasn't the dressing, it was the mannerism. And growing up, during high school and elementary school, she wore she wore clothes that were not masculine and not feminine, but the general attire. But everyone in the neighborhood knew that he at that time appeared to be male, knew that there was a difference. She played football, she played baseball, all the sports, did Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, but at the same time appearing to be a male, but still having those feminine tendencies. So when she finally transitioned to the sex change, when people saw her, no one was surprised. It's like we knew all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying this to say that it's not something that a person, her words are saying, Mom, if I wasn't born like this, do you think I would choose this as a lifestyle? Because it's very difficult with society accepting who I am. So all I say to this is love everyone, live and let live. And it's better to be out there than to be on the down low. That's all I can say. So hopefully parents that have children that display this tendency, allow them to be who they are. Love your child. God doesn't make mistakes. Thank you for taking my call.
Grace, thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah. Go ahead, please.
I think she said a really, really key thing in just saying that it is not an easy walk. Let's just start being a black man in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Then to add black and gay, black and trans, black and lesbian on top of that, it is a fight within yourself to just be comfortable with who you are or what you or who you like or who you, what how you identify. To add that, and I think oftentimes people don't recognize we have to fight the black community just to be accepted, but then on top of that we got to fight the rest of the world to be who we are. And so I think she really, really honed in on saying like this is not a choice because we think it's fun or cute. This is our lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, Antonio, you said something before we spoke to that last caller that really, really struck me when answering my question about responsibility. And I wholeheartedly agree with what you were saying, because when you talk about cultures. And as you said, okay, we were supposed to, you know, in elementary school and junior high school, I'm telling my age, and high school and everything else, yet we learned about, you know, other cultural identities, racial identities, you know, European, Native American, Asian, you know, the whole bit. And some of us are evolved enough where even as adults, you know, we travel so that we can be citizens of the world and so that we can understand, you know, other cultures. But I think now may be the time for people to, when they never thought about this before, just like you have white people who come to black people and say, like one of my co-anchor, who was a white woman years and years ago, when she called me colored on the air by accident, and there were other black people in the studio, and the response was, "Ooh, well, she didn't grow up around black people," and so I didn't take offense. It was, what did you say, Derek? A teachable moment, because she asked me innocently, "What do we call you?" And so I think that that same kind of teachable moment needs to be for members who, you know, the straight community to start asking mature, sober questions about the LGBTQIA plus community. And the answers can't be defensive, because I think that's the only way that we are going to evolve in this space. That's my soapbox. But Antonio Driver, Derek Cox, thank you both so much. Congratulations. Enjoy the weekend. Tell Vivica Fox I said hello. She doesn't know me, but anyway. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, April 28th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.